Good morning, everyone. The Health Regulation Subcommittee will be called to order. Sabrina, if you'll please call the roll.
Chair Salzman, Representative Burfield.
Here.
Bartleman.
Here.
Abbott.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Bell.
Here.
Black.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Franklin.
Present.
Humchowski.
Here.
Persons Mullica.
Here.
Renando. Redmond.
Here.
Skidmore.
Here.
Snyder. Tant.
Here.
Trabuzzi, excuse. Quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. We appreciate it. With a quorum being present, I'd like to remind everyone to silence your phone. Today we have a full agenda, so we're going to ask everyone to be respectful of time. And with that, we will start with consideration of House Bill 855, Dental Services, by Representative McClure.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. House Bill 855 deals with direct-to-consumer orthodontics. It does four things. Requires designation of a dentist of record be listed. Anyone distributing these devices must give dentist of record contact information and after-hours emergency contact. Provides additional grounds of disciplinary action by the Board of Dentistry. And requires a disclaimer on advertising for folks to consider meeting with a dentist in person. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Representative members, are there any questions? Seeing no questions, there being no amendments, we have some public testimony. The first person is Etta Fernandez. Waiving in support, thank you very much. We have Trey Lawrence. You're recognized.
Ms. Trey Lawrence, I'm Vice President and General Counsel for the American Association of Orthodontists. I have the pleasure this morning of speaking on behalf of over 1,000 orthodontists in the state of Florida in support of HB 855. So in my position with the American Association of Orthodontists, I have the privilege to get to observe our orthodontist members using technology in really amazing ways to increase convenience for patients and bring down the cost of orthodontic treatment. And things like remote monitoring, patients can check in with the orthodontist on their cell phone, just some really amazing utilizations of technology. But the common thread for all of those utilizations is a certain set of clinical guardrails to make sure that the outcome that's delivered to the patient is most effective for the patient and also doesn't actually harm them. And it's especially important for the state dental board to be able to enforce those clinical guardrails. And that's really at the heart of what HB 855 is about and why our members are strongly in support of it. It's important to understand orthodontic treatment is a medical treatment. And there are real and permanent harms that can result if it's not done the right way, if certain clinical safeguards aren't maintained. So if you have existing conditions, things like impacted teeth or implants or other things that are below the gums and don't show up to the naked eye, unhealthy roots to the tooth, if the tooth roots are too small and you begin orthodontic treatment, serious harm can result. I mean, things like people losing teeth, people having roots that are so compromised at that point that they can never do any other kind of orthodontic treatment. And there are certain components clinically that are absolutely necessary to detect those things, and primarily an in-person examination, a physical examination of the patient, and x-rays are key in detecting those things. And if you don't do those things before you start treatment, then these serious harms can occur. The other thing that's important, many of the direct-to-consumer models that we're talking about when we talk about a bill like this rely on things like photographs that a patient takes on their cell phone, impressions that a patient takes at home on their own, or a digital scan. None of those things detect what is below the gum lines. None of those things detect any of the things that I just talked about. Obviously, cell phone photos are what they are, taken by a patient. Impressions taken by a patient. If you've ever been in a dental office and had an impression, you know how difficult that is to do. And then a digital scan is just basically a complicated photograph, but it does not show what is below the gum lines. So that's why it's so important to have a dental board that's able to regulate these practices, determine whether the standard of care was followed in a case, and if not, then take action accordingly. So harm can result, and the data shows that harm is resulting. Certainly our members are seeing it. Our members report constantly. Over 77% of AAO members reported that they have seen cases for retreatment that have suffered harm from a direct-to-consumer type of treatment. And of that 77%, over two-thirds say that they see those cases at least quarterly, if not more often. And then similar to that, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has a database for these clear aligners where complaints can be registered by a dentist. The number of complaints against the leading direct-to-consumer company that has just recently gone out of business was multiple X's, four or five times the number of complaints of the leading the brand that you would have heard of that can only treat through a dentist or orthodontist in person, which has millions more patients. So the data shows that patients are experiencing harm.
Mr. Lawrence, if you could kind of wrap up, we need to...
Oh, absolutely.
Thank
absolutely.
You so much.
Thank you. So in short, so those are all the reasons we support HB 55 or 855. The number one thing that I hear in response to this bill is, why is legislation needed? Dental boards are being sued all across the country. There needs to be legislation to prevent the suits against the dental board as an entity and against the dental board members as individuals. And we believe the 855 provides the necessary protection to allow the dental boards to regulate. And so for all those reasons, we thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of HB 855.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Angela McMullen. You're recognized.
Good morning. My name is Angela McMullen. I'm the owner and founder of 3D Dental, a general and cosmetic dental practice located in Miami Beach, where as a Florida licensed dentist, I've been seeing Florida patients in person for over 8 years. In that time, I've also worked as a dentist affiliated with Bite, prescribing clear aligners made by Bite, a subsidiary of Dent Supply Sirona, which is the world's largest manufacturer of professional dental products and technologies. I'm here today on behalf of Bite and Dent Supply Sirona to oppose HB 855. Dent Supply Sirona and its Bite business are on a mission to make the inaccessible accessible by providing, patients access to safe and affordable at-home clear aligners. They ensure that each Florida patient receives an individualized treatment plan that is reviewed, prescribed, and overseen by a Florida licensed dentist or orthodontist. The review process is a comprehensive one. To begin, the virtual Florida dentist is provided with a trove of information, including patient-populated forms, photos, a 3D image of patient's teeth, and finally a virtual treatment. The dentist enjoys wide discretion to determine if the patient is a candidate for Bite at-home aligners, if the treatment plan is right for them, or if the dentist would prefer to see the treatment plan modified. Notably, at all times, the dentist retains the right to declare the patient unfit for Bite's treatment plan. The dentist can always advise the patient to get an in-office exam if they see anything that may be concerning before they are comfortable prescribing treatment. The platform is robust to support the foregoing options. The dentist is allowed to make comments and adjustments to the treatment plan. Indeed, the dentist can advise the patient directly through the company's portal. Provided the patient is approved for treatment, the patient stays with that same Florida dentist and they have visibility to their contact information throughout their treatment, and if there are any issues they run into, the dentist is the one consulted on how to proceed. If during the course of treatment the patient develops needs outside the scope of the dentist's ability to treat them virtually, an in-office appointment is recommended. HB 55 would create a new government-imposed mandates for in-person visits and mandatory x-rays. While we agree that Florida licensed dentists like myself are competent to assess a patient's care, make accountable clinical decisions, and adhere to a standard of care for each and every patient, we should not be burdened by intrusive mandates that will drive up costs for patients, worsen existing inefficiencies in the healthcare marketplace, and limit the range of dental care options available to Floridians. Not every clinical situation is the same, and Florida licensed dentists should have the ability to adapt their approach based on the individual's needs and circumstances of each patient. Related to treating teeth alignment or prescribing any orthodontic appliance, dentists of record should, like me, have the authority to decide based on clinical experience and knowledge after reviewing the submitted medical and dental records, photos, and digital models, whether requesting further records from an in-person examination or reviewing x-rays is necessary for each specific case. We would respectfully request your opposition of this legislation as currently written. We appreciate the time we have had to discuss the bill language and our feedback with Chair McClure, and believe we are on the right track. Thank you very much for your consideration, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. And with that, next we have Dr. Harrison, who wishes to speak. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Burfield and the House Healthcare Regulation Subcommittee, to speak in support of House Bill 855. My name is Dr. Reese Harrison. I've been practicing general dentistry in the Florida Panhandle for over 20 years. I want to first thank Representative McClure for filing this bill. This legislation takes important steps to protect patients who use direct-to-consumer dental products. This bill does not decrease access to care, nor does it require a patient to receive any additional services or dental procedures. Patients can still access these products. The legislation ensures accountability and patient protections by recommending they see a dentist and have a dentist of record to be available for contact in the event of an emergency. This legislation creates a standard to help educate patients on the importance of an inpatient exam and an X-ray by a dentist prior to engaging in direct-to-consumer dental services. In my personal practice, I had a patient who had been using an aligner without going to a dentist first for an exam or a consultation. He used the aligner for 9 months and then came to see me because he had severe TMJ pain, chronic headaches. He had attempted to contact the company who had given him the aligner, but was unable to reach anyone, nor has anyone responded to his calls. What we didn't know until we did a series of x-rays was he also had decay or cavities between more than half of his teeth and his mouth. When you put an aligner in for up to 22 hours a day and you have decay, that aligner's use allows the decay to progress more rapidly because you are negatively impacting the salivary flow around the teeth, which is the natural buffering system of the mouth. And you can't visually see that decay without having an x-ray. So now this patient, in his early 20s, is in a chronic pain with headaches, his bite is off, and he has extensive tooth decay impacting a majority of his teeth. He started using this aligner to improve his smile and build his confidence. He was young, starting a new career, had goals all young people do that would consider. But now, and what he didn't realize, was that this device had caused him dental problems that was becoming worse and worse and be more and more costly. When I finished his treatment plan, it was determined he was going to have to come back to my office between 7 and 10 times to address these issues. Where I practice in the Panhandle, patients often have to drive a good distance to get to me, and this was the case with this patient as well. He agreed to do the drive and the treatment plan, but his obligations to correct this new problem were now going to cost him time to drive to the procedures, time off from work, and money to pay for the work that had to be done now. Under House Bill 855, my patient would have been provided a dentist of record to contact and discuss any issues and concerns associated with the aligner treatment. By simply creating the standard for patient education, House Bill 855 takes important steps to ensure accountability for companies providing do-it-yourself dental services. Without this basic information, patients like the one I mentioned do not have access to critical emergency contact if there's a problem that needs to be addressed. To help protect my patients and all patients across Florida, I encourage you to vote in support of House Bill 855. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our last speaker is Joanne Hart.
Thank you, Chair Burfield and committee members. I'm Joanne Hart, the Chief Legislative Officer for the Florida Dental Association, and I'm here to speak in support of House Bill 855. This legislation is about ensuring consumer safety and protection when purchasing direct-to-consumer dental products. Under current laws and rules, it's required for patients who receive dental services in an office to have a dentist of record, meaning they have someone who approved their case and is overseeing their treatment to contact directly if something goes wrong. This legislation is simply applying the same standards that are in law when you and I go see our dentist. Additionally, when advertising to the public and promoting direct-to-consumer dental products, the bill recommends that these companies provide a disclaimer stating that in order to prevent injury or harm from using these products, it is advised that you get an exam from a licensed dentist and x-rays. The other important part of this legislation is authorizing the Board of Dentistry to address these cases when patients are harmed. Believe it or not, but Florida's Board of Dentistry currently does not have authority to help consumers who have been harmed by these products. Complaints have been made, But because the board doesn't have the authority to regulate businesses, these complaints have been sent to the Attorney General's office. That's why it's important for the dentist's information to be explicitly provided to the consumer. Unfortunately, many people have suffered from using these products, thinking that they are safe, but now having to deal with a bigger dental issue that will cost them double, if not more. This legislation will help protect Floridians from having the same, having to suffer the same fate. I want to thank Representative McClure for filing this legislation, and I want to thank you, Chair Burfield, for being a prime co-sponsor. I urge you to support House Bill 855. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other further testimony, public testimony, is there any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative McClure, would you like to close
in? The interest of time, I know you got a busy schedule. Just thank you for your consideration.
Okay. And with that, if the roll would please be called.
Chair Salzman. Representative Burfield.
Yes.
Bartleman.
Yes.
Abbott.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Latana.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Franklin.
Yes.
Umchowski.
Yes.
Persons Mullica.
Yes.
Renando.
Yes.
Rudman.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Snyder. Tant.
Yes.
Trabuzzi. 16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We'll show the bill positively reported. Thank you, Representative McClure. Next, we have PCS HB 89, Representative Plankin. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I really appreciate the opportunity to present PCS for HB 89. The bill authorizes the governor to issue an annual proclamation designating June 6th of each year as Revive Awareness Day. The Department of Health is encouraged to hold awareness events about the dangers of opioids and the life-saving medications that can revive someone after an overdose. The bill is also known as Victoria's Law, named after the daughter of public figures David and Jackie Siegel. Victoria Siegel died of an accidental drug overdose at the tender age of only 18. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Representative, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, is there any public testimony? Okay, and we have first Karen Mazzell or Mazzello. Waving in support. Okay, and the second one we have is Barney Bishop. He's waving in support. We have Christopher Henson. Waving in support. We have Lauren Jackson. She will be waving in support. Very good. With that, is there any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, would you like to close, Representative?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wave close.
Very good. And with that, if you please call the roll for PCS for HB 89.
Chair Salzman, Representatives Burfield.
Yes.
Bartleman.
Yes.
Abbott.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Botana.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Franklin.
Yes.
Humchowski.
Yes.
Persons Mullica.
Yes.
Renando.
Yes.
Rudman.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Snyder. Tant. Yes. Trabuzzi. 16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Very good. We'll show the bill favorably reported. Thank you very much for being with us, Representative.
Thank you.
Next up, we have for consideration is PCS for HB 827. Representative Koster is with us. Representative Koster, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair. Thank you, both of them. Ranking Member Bartleman. It's been a day. HB 827 reclassifies intern registrations as associates for clinical social workers, marriage and family therapists, mental health counselors to try and assist with the workforce issues facing Floridians today in search of mental health counseling. Changing the term from intern to associate more accurately reflects the training, education, qualifications, and scope of practice of these mental health providers, reducing public confusion and increasing utilization of these mental health services. Currently, there are 24 other states that use the term associate. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Rudman, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And
Good morning, Rep. Koster. You sound like you need a physician. Come see me after after committee.
Perhaps. Thank you.
No, seriously, thank you for this bill. And this is actually an education process for me as well. Would you mind educating me on exactly how much experience these, currently we call them interns, can you give me an idea of their current level of training when they're classified as an intern?
Thank you. They have been through all of their education. They've taken their exams. All they're waiting on at this point to be fully licensed under our statute is their clinical hours. And part of the problem that we're seeing and part of the impetus for the bill is they're struggling to get clinical hours because people don't want to hire an intern because they think this person is still in school when that's, in fact, not the case.
Follow-up question, Representative?
I really appreciate the clarification. That's exactly where I was going. Thank you very much.
Are there any further questions? Seeing no further questions, public testimony. We have Barney Bishop waving in support. We have Corrine Mixon waving in support with the Florida Mental Health Counselors Association. That is all the public testimony we see. With that, is there any debate on the bill, members? Representative Rudman, you're recognized for debate.
Thank you, Representative. And again, now that I'm more educated on the topic, I'm going to be voting up on this bill. It's interesting because we use the term intern as well in medical school and medical training, you know, residency programs. So as we move forward and talk about our health care workforce shortages, I hope maybe some of these people will also look back at our medical training and maybe grant some of the same privileges to physicians in training. Because again, I remember when I was called an intern, there were things we were allowed to do, things we were not allowed to do. So as we're trying to alleviate the workforce shortage, hopefully a representative or someone in this committee will look at the same situation as it applies to medical training as well. But I'm up on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further debate? Seeing no further debate, would you like to close?
I'll wave close, Chair.
Thank you very much. With that, please take the roll on PCS for HB 827 and announce the vote.
Chair Salzman, Representatives Burfield?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Abbott?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Tana?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Humchowski?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Renanda?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Snyder? Tant?
Yes.
Trabuzzi? 16 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Very good. Show the bill favorably reported. Thank you, Representative Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee.
And with that, we will move to our next bill, House Bill 975. Representative Bell, I believe you are presenting on behalf of Representative Trabuzzi today. You are recognized to explain the bill.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning, Vice Chair Burfield, Ranking Member Bartleman, and committee members. And thank you for allowing me to present House Bill 975 on behalf of Representative Trabulsi. As you all know, she's back home with family members of the loss of her mother-in-law, so please continue to keep her in your prayers. This bill is about background checks for the healthcare industry are vital to ensuring patient and workplace safety and quality of care. Many health care practitioners provide direct care to children, the elderly, and disabled individuals. Currently, the Department of Health background screens 20 health care practitioners prior to licensure, but the requirement does not apply to certain licensed health care practitioners, including but not limited to physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech language pathologists, dental psychologists, optometrists, and midwives. An extensive list can be found in the staff analysis. House Bill 975 expands current background screening requirements by the Department of Health and all care practitioners. All fingerprints collected will be entered into the care provider background screening clearinghouse. Lastly, the bill directs that all health care practitioners already licensed without a background screening to submit to a background screening by July 1st, 2025. And that is my bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any questions? Representative Rudman, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Bell, I understand this isn't your bill, and I totally get that. But I'll just give you some basic questions, just so I'm sure that I understand kind of where this is coming from. What are the current requirements, or what's the current process for, let's say, some of the professions named in this bill, like optometry, physical therapy? Is it our suggestion that they are currently not being screened, or there's no background checks taking place? I was just curious.
You're recognized.
Thank you, and thank you for the question. Currently, Florida requires medical doctors, physicians assistants, podiatrists, physicians, on and on and on. The requirements are just that they have a level 2 background check, and so this is going to extend it.
Can I ask for a follow-up, Representative Redmond?
And, Rep, when you say level 2, that's kind of jargon, that's kind of lingo. I mean, I'm not a police officer. I don't know what a level 2 check is. Can you give me an idea of what it includes and what it involves?
Representative Bell?
As you know, this is not my bill, and so I do not have MD behind my name, even though I have MMB, but no, I don't. So I'm sure you know that, if you will explain it to us.
Representative Bell, I think it represents something like sex offenders, that classification. Representative Redmond for a follow-up.
And Rep Bell, the reason for my question, would this reclassification, would it include fingerprinting?
Representative Bell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, it does.
Are there any further questions? Seeing no further questions, is there public testimony? We have Amy Diaz Leon. Is that correct? Very good. Thank you. And that's all the public testimony we have. With that, committee, is there any debate? Representative Redmond, you're recognized for debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, this is an interesting bill. I've probably spent more time on this bill over the weekend than any other bill that we're hearing today, because there's kind of a philosophical argument going on inside me. I totally get the intent of the bill. When you talk about taking care of children, when you talk about being in people's homes, when you talk about the elderly, I totally understand and support the need to protect those populations. What I'm against is what I see as the demonization and the criminalization of healthcare. And what I mean by that, I don't know how many of my colleagues have gone through a fingerprinting process. I've been fingerprinted back when I filed to be a Medicaid provider in the state of Florida back in 2004, 2005. I had to go down to the sheriff's office. Spotless record, never done anything wrong, but I get walk into the office, you know, I get that fingerprint card, I get the ink on my hands, you know, this thumbprint, that fingerprint. It's probably the most humiliating process I've ever been involved in as a medical doctor. You know, I got into this field to help people, not to have my fingerprints loaded up into a database. For that reason and for many other reasons, including declining reimbursement, I haven't taken Medicaid in over 17 years. You know, when I take Blue Cross, when I take Aetna, when I take other products, there is no requirement to be fingerprinted. And that's why I asked the question. Like I said, that was the most humiliating experience in my medical career, being fingerprinted. And just because we live in a state where doctors have to be subjected to that kind of treatment, I would never, ever want to impose that type of embarrassment on my dentist, on my optometrist, on my physical therapist. And in fact, I was struggling with this bill all weekend. So what do? You reach out to your constituents. I called my local dentist in Santa Rosa County. I called my optometry group in Santa Rosa County. I called the physical therapy office, and we discussed the bill. And I said, do you guys want to be fingerprinted? Understand this is for the children. This is for the elderly. And the response I got was, you know, we've gone 30-plus years fighting this fight. We do not want to be fingerprinted. So, unfortunately, I'm going to vote down on this bill today, but it could definitely be cleaned up. It could definitely earn my vote at a later stop. I would suggest, number one, doing away with the fingerprinting. When I talked to the physical therapy group in Navarre, they do background screening. They're very comfortable with their background checks. These corporate PT offices, they don't just hire Joe Blows off the street. They go through a very selective process. Now, granted, it's not a state-run process, but I thought we trust private businesses here in the state of Florida. These private businesses aren't going to do anything wrong. They're not going to put just anybody in your house. So the physical therapists I talked to, they're quite happy with their security measures, with their background screening. The dentists don't want this. The optometrists I spoke to, the ones that don't take Medicaid, they are not interested in this. So in the interest of my constituents, I'm going to vote down on this bill today.
Next, we have Representative Tant.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am going to be voting up on this bill, and the reason for that is because of the fact that I think these background, I'm shocked that we don't already have these background screens. I will tell you that I literally, my housekeeper, who helps me out in my home, has had to go through a background screen to clean a bank. That's a private business. He's a private business. and he's also had to go through a background screen to clean this building. I mean, this is not unusual. Background screens deal with things besides, in addition to sex offenses, they also deal with things like criminal offenses such as theft, and things like cooking the books, things like any kind of background screening that goes to engaging in drug trafficking, manufacturing drugs, burglary, robbery, those are disqualifying offenses, weapons violations within 1,000 feet of a school, domestic violence, white-collar crimes, embezzlement. I was a volunteer with the Children's Home Society, and I was a volunteer with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I went and got fingerprinted for that. I was a volunteer in my school, my children's school. I had a level 2 background screen. The people who drive my son, who's disabled, to work, their drivers are level 2 background screen. It is a very commonplace background screening, and I just don't see why there'd be any reason to oppose this bill. So I'm going to be up on this bill. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Hunchowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Bell, I know it's not your bill, and I want to thank Representative Tribolsi for it and for you for presenting it today. When we're dealing in any sort of businesses or professions, there's nothing more important than trust. And I think that this bill will just enhance trust. Similar to Representative Tant was saying, I volunteered at our children's school, and we were required to do fingerprinting, and I did not find it embarrassing. I was actually really glad that the school required that of all the volunteers who came in contact with the children in order to make sure we were providing the safest environment possible. So I think this is a wonderful bill, like Representative Tant as well. I'm shocked that it's not already required, but I think this is wonderful moving forward to make sure that we're watching out for the safety of our children and all the residents of Florida, and safety does need to come first. Thank you.
Representative Bartleman, you're recognized for debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Usually on this committee, we are on the same page, Dr. Redmond, but for this bill, I am definitely not, and I'm going to give you the best example. Her name is Mia Marcono, and she was killed by a maintenance worker in her apartment complex, and I had to pass a law for level 2 background screenings if you're given a master key to an apartment. As a state, it's our responsibility to keep people safe. As a matter of fact, we have another law in the state of Florida. It's called the Jessica Lunsford Act. And so when you talk about, it makes sense when people are in classrooms, when kids are there during the day or volunteers. But in the state of Florida, if you are a roofer and you go into a building after school hours when there are no children in that building, you still have to have a level 2 background screening and you still have to be fingerprinted. I feel it's our job to keep our constituents safe. And when something is brought to our attention that could be a potential problem and we don't act, and then something happens, then it's on us. It's very easy to get fingerprinted. It's not humiliating. Every teacher, paraprofessional, every roofer, if you're working at a school in the state of Florida, is doing that. So I am definitely up on this bill. I think we need to be consistent, and it will prevent something like what happened to Mia. Quite honestly, we didn't think it was, people were like, well, it's a private industry, it's a private business.
No, someone was killed. Someone's daughter was killed. And so when we hear of incidents like that, we need to do something. So I appreciate you bringing this bill. Thank you.
Seeing no further debate, Representative Bell, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to thank the people that debated on it, my colleagues. I appreciate your speech on it, because I also myself volunteered at school and I had to be fingerprinted and was not humiliated whatsoever, because I feel like if somebody's coming into your home, especially around your children, you certainly want a level two background check. And I just appreciate Representative Trubowski bringing this to our attention. I always thought they had to have background checks. Many, many years ago, I had physical training at my home because I had broke my knee and had a company come in, and I asked them to leave about an hour later because of what they were saying in my home and trying to get me to do. And so they were not screened. They were brought in. They had just moved into the state of Florida, and this the hospital hired them to go out and do PT, and so they fired this company. So I would ask for everybody's support on this, if we could, for Trubowski today. Thank you.
With that, please call the roll on House Bill 975 and announce the vote.
Chair Salzman, Representatives Burfill.
Yes.
Bartleman.
Yes.
Abbott.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Botana.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Franklin.
Yes.
Humchowski.
Yes.
Persons Mulica.
Yes.
Renanda.
Yes.
Rudman.
No.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Snyder. Tant.
Yes.
Trivulzi. 15 yeas, one nay, Madam Chair.
Please show the bill favorably reported. And with that, I will be turning the chair back over to our chair.
Good morning. Sorry for my late arrival. Representative Barnaby, you are recognized to present HB 771, Autonomous Practice for Certified Psychiatric Nurses, whenever you're ready. And you look very dapper.
Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair, ranking members of the Healthcare Regulations Subcommittee. It is my pleasure to present HB 771 to you today. HB 771 will allow for advanced practice registered nurses with certifications in psychiatric care to administer care autonomously or without doctor supervision. Since the passage of HB 607 in 2020, APRNs may administer some mental health care autonomously in primary care settings. HB 771 seeks to ensure that our most qualified APRNs, psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners, are providing this mental health care. Psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners hold either master's or doctoral degrees in psychiatric nursing, national certifications in advanced practice, and have two or more years of field experience under doctor supervision. These psychiatric nurses are highly skilled, highly qualified medical professionals with the ability to help treat suffering Floridians without doctor supervision and there is a major need for their services. In Florida, 50 counties are facing a shortage of mental health care professionals. Countywide, 15 counties face shortages in some areas. This means only two counties in Florida, count them, only two counties in Florida face no shortage of mental health care professionals. This, my friends, has created a backlog of patients. And by allowing our PMHNPs to practice autonomously, we will be able to free up some of the backlog we are facing. Doctors will be free to focus on complex, high-priority cases, while the qualified PMHNP can focus on the everyday cases of anxiety or depression and help to make sure every Floridian receives the care they deserve. My friends, when I go around my district, whether it be in the community to our hospitals, or even when I have constituents visit my office, the most prevalent issue that I hear is mental health issues. We have a crisis in Florida, and these nurses will help us solve it. This bill is legitimately put together to save the lives of Floridians and to deliver the necessary care to thousands more. Each one of our constituents will be impacted positively by this bill. I humbly ask for your favorable support. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Barnaby has explained his bill. Members, are there any questions of the sponsor? Representative Honchowski, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually have two questions, if that's okay. The first question is, under autonomous practice, what can an advanced practice registered psychiatric nurse not do that a psychiatrist can do?
Thank you for that.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for that question, Representative Honchowski, because I'm not a doctor, and I have staff here who was worked on the bill. I'd like staff to come up and answer your question.
We can't allow staff to answer the question, but she can. You can confer with her.
Okay. All right, so the answer is they cannot prescribe psychotropic medication without supervision.
You're recognized for follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, my question was, if they are allowed to practice autonomously, what are they not allowed to do that a psychiatrist is allowed to do?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. All right. Well, we'd have to get back to you on the specifics.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My next question is dealing with liability insurance. What are advanced practice registered nurse psychiatric practitioners required to carry regarding liability insurance versus a psychiatrist?
You're recognized.
All right, thank you for the question, Madam Chair. We don't have the answer to that.
Any other questions? Representative Franklin, I believe you had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks so much for bringing this bill for conversation here. Great intent when you talk about trying to increase access to psychiatric services throughout our state. My question is around, have we thought about ensuring that, you know, these psychiatric nurses take insurance in any way? And then also there's a way to look at, well, if we're having rural areas, which I do serve, and there are challenges with access to mental health services, has there also been any thought in this bill around some sort of requirement as we're trying to extend services? The reason why I asked that question is just kind of around, you know, when we think about just increasing competition in major cities with psychiatrists, I'm not sure how much we're able to solve the problem of easing access to mental health, where we could have an opportunity to look at, I consider, healthcare deserts, and how do we expand, like you're mentioning now, autonomous practices of psychiatric nurses to be able to meet those needs in those communities, and also looking at some requirements around insurance, because we all know in the mental health space, most folks just take cash. And so when we look at most cash-paying patients...
Representative Franklin, do you have a question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's the question.
Can you make it a question? Because I don't even know the question.
Is there any consideration in the bill around insurance, right? Taking insurance, or how do we ensure that rural communities also have access to care?
You're actually, that's out of the scope of the bill, I believe. We're going to, do you have any other questions? I apologize. Thank you. And then Representative Cheney, you're recognized, followed by Representative Tant, and then Representative Rudman.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Barnaby, for bringing this forward. Are there any requirements within the bill to do some reporting to the legislature, maybe 2 or 3 years after, to address any of these concerns some of the committee members are bringing up? And if not, would you consider adding that to the bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Cheney, can you repeat your question, please?
Thank you. Yes, are there... Is there a requirement in the bill for reporting to the legislature? And if not, would you consider it?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll consider it.
Next up, we have Representative Tant. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I understood Representative Franklin's question, can CRNAs be insured? Can insurance pay for their services? Because if they can't, that's not going to help my rural communities.
You are recognized. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Tan, thanks for your question. The bill officially addresses psychiatric nurses, not the question which you put forward.
Next up, we have Representative Rudman. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing forward this bill. And I understand your intent, you know, to reach out to rural communities and to provide access to care. Is there anything in the bill that would require psychiatric nurses who do practice autonomously to practice only in certain designated counties or underserved areas?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Rudman, there's nothing in the bill that specifically focuses on rural communities. As I stated in my opening statement, we have a major healthcare crisis in more than 50 of our 67 counties in the state of Florida. This morning, we're here, and I'm here this morning, to address that problem, to fix that problem, to help the public. And I ask for this committee's favorable support to help the public. We all have heard from our constituents of the crisis of healthcare. This bill will give us an opportunity to help our constituents. I'm simply asking that we help our constituents.
And next up is Representative Ponchowski for, we'll go back to her. Representative Bartleman, you're recognized.
I have, I have two questions, Madam Chair. Representative, two questions.
Madam Chair.
You're recognized.
I'm sorry, Representative Baldwin. Madam Chair, we're going to temporarily postpone this bill.
Representative Bartleman has requested that we will temporarily postpone this bill, so we will temporarily postpone this bill. Thank you for your presentation this morning. The next bill we have on agenda is, I'm looking for the bill number, HB 257 by Representative Giambardo, and show that bill temporarily postponed. Members, those are all the bills that we had for the day. Having no more business, Representative Snyder moves that we adjourn.